Dave answers your questions about personal finance. He provides insight into making the most on your money using over 20 years of experience. Money Matters is brought to you in part by Petso Financial Consultants and Mountain West Bank, Idaho's community bank, with offices in Boise, Ketchum, and Coeur d'Alene. Dave Petso, the host of Money Matters, is a certified financial planner professional and an investment advisor representative with Cambridge Investment Research Advisors Incorporated. Registered representative securities offered through Cambridge Investment Research Incorporated, a broker-dealer member FINRA SIPC. Investment advisor representative Cambridge Investment Research Advisors Incorporated, a registered investment advisor. Cambridge Investment Research Incorporated and Petso Financial Consultants are not affiliated companies. And now the host of Money Matters, Dave Petso.
Hello, good morning, and thank you again for joining us. What we know isn't worth knowing. I know, geez, we're going to talk about that again. With a twist, today. Just a little twist on this. You know, I touched on this a little bit a couple of weeks ago when I talked about how you can flip that over to what we know, and that sometimes it leads us to maybe how to better invest, or some bargains, if you will. And what I want to do is just kind of talk about this a little bit in light of there's so much news, and it is conflicting. There's no doubt about it. We've got nothing but negative economic news. Not quite. No, there are some positives there, but you will never see that or feel that if you just listen to the headlines, because it's always going to be reported as negative. But it is conflicting, and there certainly is a lot of negative news out there. But interest rates are rising. So let's kind of think about this in the sense of what we know isn't worth knowing and take it a step further. So, again, just to kind of, in case you don't know what I mean, I'm not trying to insult anybody, but what we know isn't worth knowing is to me, my number one investment commandment. And, again, my Ten Commandments are out on our website. It's at PetsoFinancial.com if you would like to listen to all ten. And periodically we talk about each of them. This is an important thing for me. They don't have to be yours. I think they have great value, but particularly they have great value to me. So I try to remind myself, and when I say commandments, I'm not talking about suggestions. These are not my suggestions or really good ideas that I should try out maybe if I want to, if I feel that way. It's because they're difficult things to do. It's difficult for anybody to say what I know isn't worth knowing, because we're all smart. We all think we're plugged in. We all think we know stuff. We all actually think we're like intuitive, right? Right? Because you know that one time we're walking through the casino, you know, they put the buffet at the back of the casino, so you have to walk by all the tables, right? Try to get you to, you know, kind of come on. Why don't you play for a few minutes? You know, pay for dinner, right, on your way in. And you walk by the roulette wheel, and you look over, and you go, you know, 10. It just kind of flashes in your mind. 10. Boom, the ball bounces around. Boom, 10. And, you know, you turn to your bride and you say, hey, you know, next time that, you know, I have this intuition that God speaks in my ear, whatever it is you say, I will run over and slap a fiver on that number. And what we don't realize is you've walked through 35 times before. I'm sorry, so I think it's more like 37 times before. I forgot about the zeros. And nothing happened. And that isn't extraordinary, so you didn't even think about it, because the 10th happens to be your stupid birthday. Nothing magic about 10. It's just your birthday or your kid's birthday or your anniversary or whatever it is. And we have this thing that makes us think we have intuition. I knew that guy was going to hit a home run. I knew I had a feeling about that shot, whatever it is. Certainly confidence plays a part, and we have to have confidence. There's no question about that. Whether it's in sports, in investing, in business, we have to have confidence. Absolutely. But to kid ourselves that we have some kind of an intuition about what the market is going to do. Come on, dude. No. No, you don't. No, you don't. All right, so let's go on. what we know isn't worth knowing. That, you know, we hear the headlines, we read about them, we get on the blogs, and we know for sure what? We know for sure that the market's overpriced and has been for thousands of points. We know that. We know it. And it's been really valuable, not at all. Not remotely. Not remotely. We've known for years that interest rates have to go up. Have to. They will. And the fact that we're printing money is a certainty to lead to inflation and much higher interest rates, except it doesn't. Stay with me here. We know at the end of this year, you want something more, but right now, we know at the end of this year, we know for a fact, absolute certainty, the dollar will continue to strengthen. It's certain it will. Certain it will. After all, everybody else, the best case in the world, our economy is going, we are king dollar, and it is not going to weaken at all, which means the multinational corporations can't be bought. It means you can't touch any foreign stocks. That would be absolutely crazy because you can't win. Except that hasn't happened at all. At all. The only earnings have been because of corporate buybacks. Okay? You get the picture. You want to be U.S. only. Buy the retailers only in the U.S. Small cap only. Don't touch the multinationals. Dollar strong. Dying. China. Get away. Stay away. Stay away forever. It's imploding. This is what we know to be true. And the way to invest is, it's not just what you know isn't worth knowing because it's priced in. Let's dig deeper. And maybe even invest the other way. Imagine, as everybody in the whole wide world is saying, that oil prices are going down. They're going to keep going down. And we're at $45 a barrel, and they're going to 30. Do I hear 20? Do I hear 20? Come on, guys, let's go. Come on. You know, you're an analyst, and if you nail this thing, and you're the lowest bidder in the whole wide world, and then all of a sudden it hits, you are going to be a hero. So they outbid each other in both directions, right? On the, a couple years ago, oil's going up. It's 100. It's 120. It's going to go to 150. Oh, yeah. You know what? Goldman Sachs, we're going to outdo you. We're going to say 200. Everybody is so certain. But they're also, we have to understand, they're also trying to make a name for themselves when they outbid each other. Whether it's individual stocks, whether it's sectors, whether it is the whole economy. But what we know isn't worth knowing, and now we can turn that around and maybe even look at the other side of the coin. Is it possible that all of this talk on the dollar is possibly overdone? Is it possible? Is it possible that we've said this and that everybody's position in the whole wide world, including hedge funds, with now that are leveraging the entire direction the other way, right? That we're possibly out of ammunition to keep moving the trade in that direction? If what we know it isn't worth knowing because it's already priced in, what if it's overpriced in? Because it always is. It always gets there in a major trend. Always. And it always turns for no reason under the sun. It just does. Whether it's the stock market in March of 2009, in 90 days, the market was up 45% on stunningly bad economic news. Stunningly bad. Nothing good was happening. It kept getting worse and worse and worse. And for no apparent reason, stocks are up massively. Oil has to keep going down, except in April it was up 25%. But it had to go down because everybody said so. Is it possible that China is such a negative, that it could be bought? For some people who made buckets full of money, the answer was yeah. Wow, did China rock last year, the last 12 months. Unbelievable. Wow, huge, huge gains. Is it possible when all the doomsdayers are constantly beating on the market that this isn't bad news, that this is possibly good news? Turn it over. Think about it. I know it's fearful. I know it's hard. That's what makes it hard, right? When everybody is telling you how dumb it is to own stocks, but you dare defy them and own them, is why so much money is made in the market. When we dare to move the other way. When we dare to stop and say, but, what about all the buybacks? What else are we going to do with money? What about all the cash on the sidelines? What about the true profitability of these corporations? I know you can put all the excuses out there. Some Shiller P.E. ratio. Let's slice and dice some new way of saying that the market is going to implode. Let's just tear it up. Why? Because you're going to get press. You don't get any press if you say, it's okay. What? You know, it took John Templeton 30 years to be an overnight legend in investing. It took Warren Buffett a zillion years. We say, Warren Buffett's been around famous for a long time. No, he hasn't, actually, considering he took over Berkshire Hathaway 50 years ago, 50 years ago. And grew $1,000 to $25 million. Let me repeat that, $1,000 to $25 million. Zigging, zagging, trading, guessing what the market's going to do? No, not so much. Is it just buying stocks? No. No, there's more to it than that. But it certainly isn't zigging and zagging, as all the pundits would have you do. There's plenty to worry about out there, I get that. I get that. My concern actually is we're going to fall into a recession. That truly is my concern right now. I mean it. What does that mean to stocks? Probably not much. That's the key. We all think that it's all about, you know, economic data, because it's the only thing we can hang our hat on. That's it. You know, we got an anti-business president in the White House. I mean, there's never been any, but Jimmy Carter looks like he's a big capitalist guy compared to this guy. And he was going to sink us all. And I know that the effects of Obamacare have not taken effect. I understand that. Really, I do. I understand that the effects of $9 trillion more of deficits are not felt yet. Totally get that. Same story, different decade. When we're wrong, we're wrong. Right? I mean, we really have to. It's a cleansing thing, isn't it? Right, you know what I mean. You say to your spouse, "I'm sorry, I was wrong. I really was." Instead of putting our backs up about it, saying, "You know, I really wasn't wrong because whatever." No, you were wrong, and it feels good when you say it. But if we sit there and we think about this in investing, we take that and we go, "Hey, I'm not wrong. It's just because the four blood moons." Shimada or whatever it is thing, it just wasn't the super cycle this time. And I wasn't really wrong. I wasn't really wrong about House Bill 2448 or whatever it is about the dollar going away. That website wasn't really wrong. It wasn't really wrong when I said as soon as we do this and this and this, interest rates are going to explode higher. And they keep printing money, and it's going to all end, and the Dow from 6,000 is going to go to 3 or 2 or 1. Do I hear 0? Do I hear wipeout? Do I hear that the U.S. dollar is going to be zeroed out. Whoa, what about the yen ruble conspiracy thing? That's around the corner. It just goes on and on, decade after decade, whether it's a trilateral commission, it's the Y2K. It's Howard Ruff, end of the world. Roughhouse, you remember that? Yeah. Roughhouse is all bad, all the time. Got to buy gold. Do you realize if you followed his advice over the years, actually, they ran the calculations, you would have lost 90% of your money. By the way, in a raging bull market. Thanks, Howard. Japan's going to take over. Watch out, world. China's going to take over. They own all of our deficit. China's going to implode. Dollar's going to collapse. No, it's not. Seriously. Now we got blood moons and Shimadas or Shih Tzus. I don't know what it is. It's some kind of weird calendar thing because the world isn't dynamic. It's all about numerology, man. Little squiggly lines, crossing squiggly lines, or every 7 years or some kind of nonsense going on. Why? Because we are thinking analytically only. And good Lord, if I can't predict the future, maybe numerology will help me. We can't predict the future, folks. We can't. I recognize that there are so many problems, and my concern of a recession, I think, is real. But calling for market tops is just silly. It's so silly. But it goes on and on. It parades around as some kind of information of data collection. But you see, if we don't stop and understand, it infects your soul. It destroys your ability to actually invest profitably, let alone live a happy, successful, joy-filled life. How can you do that walking around telling people about blood moons, about how the dollar is going to collapse, sitting around and talking about endlessly, how this is wrong, that's wrong, everything's wrong, and the politicians are all blah, blah, blah. Well, they're not all blah, blah, blah. And to think we can invest through that kind of negativity, we're just crazy. We're just crazy misleading ourselves. You can't. You got to turn it off. You got to shut it down. You got to ask yourself, what point is there in me studying about blood moons? Seriously. Really. Anywhere should I be doing that? Where anywhere does that make sense? Where does that coincide with good investing? Is that something that Peter Lynch and Warren Buffett and John Templeton and all the greats do? Do they focus on trilateral commissions and Y2Ks and listen to the Howard Ruffs of the world? Do they? Do they walk around buying equity-indexed annuities? Because they're going to give you stock market returns with no risk. Oh, yay! Because I believe that. That if only Goldman Sachs was so smart, they would take their billions and billions and billions of dollars and go, do that. Why don't we call on them instead of the old folks that are scared? I'm not sure why we're so scared, but I do know this. When we move with what the current news is, what we know, and we grab that, and we know for certainty what is certain isn't certain. It's often the opposite. If we're so bearish, it equals bullish, right? If the world is bearish, it equals bullish. Certainty is absolute uncertainty. It's almost opposite day, right? Right? Kids like to play opposite day. Think about that in investments. What everybody knows. Let's think about the other way. Let's go the other way. Go the other way. I know it's hard. It's hard. It's really hard. That's why perfect investing isn't perfect. You can't do it. But investing really is the hardest, easiest thing ever. Ever. Easiest way to wealth. Easiest. Always been. Yet it's hard. It's hard to do. It's hard to pull the trigger. It's hard to be opposite. It's hard to move against. and it's hard to stay. But man, the returns are unbelievable. Like nothing else on the planet. Our number is 580-5436, 580-KIDO. It's Dave at PetzoFinancial.net. Let's ring him up. Please do give us a call. We'll be right back.
This is Money Matters with Dave Petzo. Dave is taking calls right now. Call 580-5436-80-KIDO. Idaho's place to talk.
Hello, welcome, and thanks for joining us. 580-5436-580-KIDO is our number. You know, I wanted to mention this, and I kind of went a little long in my opening monologue here. I touched on my concern about the economy, and here's why. There just isn't any room for error in the world. It continues to be good, but what is the Federal Reserve going to do on any kind of a, you know, any kind of a negative blow to the economy? There's nothing they can do, right? Interest rates are at zero. Can't go down. So I would like them to have more ammunition. But even in spite of zero interest rates for like several years, right, and zero interest rates around the world, the wealth effect that it's helped to create, and for those of you who say it has created it, no, it hasn't. It hasn't. It's been a part of that creation. But when we have to have, well, that's why I was wrong, because if that's the attitude we have, we never can see that the corporations, the great corporations of the world, have continued to innovate, raise dividends, and their profitability is higher. Period. Period. It isn't just artificial. Sure, it has helped, right? There's no doubt that low interest rates help people buy houses cheaper. So more people own houses than wouldn't, which is a driver to the economy. So that's probably okay. Is it the only thing? No. I didn't go borrow money. Half the people didn't to buy a house. It wasn't what allowed them to buy a house. But on the margin, there are a few. So it definitely helped. Corporations that were struggling with high interest rates, it helped them survive. So some corporations, I believe, that would have failed didn't. Okay. A few. But I'm fairly sure that Merck might have survived. P&G probably would have got through without zero interest rates, since they do a little borrowing. You see, it's not all. It's not all, but it certainly has been helpful, really helpful. But we're now at zero. Where do we go? Higher. But what we're seeing is with all of this really soft economic data. I mean, GDP may be negative revision. That's what everybody's talking about this past week, right? May be negatively revised for the first quarter. Not just like we're not growing, but flat out shrinking. And you can't blame that all on weather. I'm sorry, we can't. And what's going on with lower oil prices? Man, that's been a godsend, is it? I know the news is like, it acts like it's a back and forth, we're not sure thing. Well, here's what I am sure of. It's a good thing, period. Okay? If you're a highly leveraged oil company that needs $100 a barrel oil, well, guess what? You were always going to go out of business. Sorry, at some point in time, you were so leveraged and silly that you were going to go out of business. The way it is. That's the way it is. I mean, some home builders were actually struggling in 2006. Seriously. I don't know how. And if you're struggling in 2006 and you're in real estate, you need to find another career because you're about to go out of business, right? Not just in hindsight. That's always true. Some companies don't get it. It's not a bad thing to have energy prices reduced. But what's going on in the retail sector? Those numbers were very poor this past week. Really poor. Consumer confidence is dropping. Industrial output, called industrial production, was down 5 months in a row. Yeah, of course I'm concerned about that. This is the reality of the economy. It's barely growing globally. Any shock We're not growing anymore, and we don't have bullets. Does this mean the market goes down? The answer is no, it does not. We've been in a very slow growth environment for a very long time. Slightly positive or slightly negative hardly makes a difference to the great corporations in the world. To me, it's all about whether these companies are growing or not. Not that we need to be figuring out whether the economy is going into a recession or not. I don't need to know that. Am I concerned? Of course I am. Does that make me a raging bull? Of course not. Of course not. We're not embarking on a new rapid growth time. No doubt about that. There's no doubt in my mind. But when we look around the world, we look around at investment opportunities, there are little and none outside of the stock market. And the beauty of the stock market is whatever sectors, whatever things you like, they're on sale every day. You don't have to. You can pass it up. No, thank you. That's a little high. Let me know when there's a discount. And you know what? You'll get your discount. Bet you will. Bet you will. And you're starting to think on some stock, I don't know if I'll get a discount. Guess what happened to Netflix like one quarter ago, right? Stock went down $120. Fundamentally, did the business change? No. Mm-mm. And now they're at all-time highs again. Even in that where companies are really hot and you think you missed it, yeah, they still crack once in a while. Our number is 580-5436, 580-KIDO. Need to take a break for Fox News, and I would love to hear from you. Please do give us a call. We'll be right back.
This is Money Matters with Dave Pezzo. Dave is taking calls right now. Call 580-5436, Idaho's place to talk.
Hello, good morning, and thank you again for joining us. 580-5436 is our number. Please do give us a call. 580-KIDO. And once again, if you do prefer email, it's Dave at Pezzo Financial, PETSO. Not the sauce, PETSOfinancial.net is our live email address. And let's go to Jim in Boise. Jim, thanks
morning,
for calling.
Dave.
Good morning.
How are you doing?
Good, very good.
I'll start the ball rolling or
yes.
Prime the pump or whatever metaphor you want to use.
I like it.
I was talking to a friend of mine yesterday about investment, mm-hmm. and he asked me how my investments were doing. And I told him, you know, as you know, I believe in long-term, holding stock, and I was telling him that I was a good little investor, and pretty much, you know, yearly in most of these companies, I was getting a raise because I was a good little investor, and the way I figure my yield is take the cost basis, you know,
mm-hmm.
and over a period of time, getting raises, you know, you may start out with 3% yield, and in no time, you're 6%, 7%, you know, looks pretty good. But then he posed something rather interesting that I never thought about that actually on the surface sound reasonable. He said, do you get a little extra dividend? And I said, what do you mean? He said, well, for holding the stock. For instance, somebody that holds 3 years, 5 years, 10 years, the company would give them an incentive, you know, or let's call it a reward,
mm-hmm.
you know, a reward for holding. And I thought, you know, that, on the surface of it, sounds interesting, and, you know, why not? And, you know, if it were up to me, I'd take day traders out and shoot them. But then, after thinking a little bit about it, I thought maybe the downside would be that there would be an incentive to hold a stock when you shouldn't. For instance, if the CEO runs to Argentina with all the money.
Right.
And so maybe the negative side would be there would be an incentive to hold stock that there shouldn't be. What do you think?
I think that's a great point. And also, Jim, let's not forget that the reason that we get bargains is because most investors act like fools. They do. They, you know, we've talked about the numbers, and I don't mean to beat up people. I just, you know, but you can't phrase it any other way. When we look at the long-term returns from the market versus the long-term returns from the average investment dollar, you would have to conclude, could only conclude, that the average investor is foolish. They're driven by emotion. They're driven by news, flashes, and they move prices around. Now, I understand what you're saying, and I think that makes sense. But one thing that we have to bear in mind is that investing, as easy as it is for people, if you will, like us, to think long-term and to buy bargains, it is not for most people, and that's what creates amazing bargains. We can all look back at history at every bear market that there is, or even corrections that get very excessive in one particular area and crush, say, biotech or energy prices recently were, of course, crushed in energy stocks. And so as we look at these different sectors, and now, and I'll talk about this in the next segment anyway, as some sectors that I favor, but those are really what creates bargains. And I think you're really onto something there. Giving people incentive to hang on when they should be moving on is not a good idea.
Yeah, I mean, that would be, but...
But our incentive is this, and I think it brings up a great point. I've asked this many, many times during the program, but I asked myself this question. How would I invest? How would you invest? How would we invest if we had to hold for 5 to 10 years? How differently would we be?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of investments are like that, I mean, not stocks, but,
Yeah.
I mean, whatever, a bond or something, it comes due in five years or a unit trust or something.
Right. Right, and unfortunately, though, most of those products are horrible. I mean, they're horrible for investors, like, the equity index annuities, things like that, that are just horrifyingly bad, and they trap people. And so, no, I'm always hesitant, like, oh, no, there's a charge to get out or a negative incentive to get out. In this case, I don't think you're talking about a charge to get out. You're just saying, hey, if you stay here a little longer, you get extra.
Yeah. I mean, if you hold GE for 20 years, than what, just a little over and above somebody that holds it for a year for a quick buck.
Well, but here's the deal. You are, right? Okay, so if you owned Procter & Gamble in 1970, what is your rate of return today? Is it 300%? Is it 500%? Is it 1,000% per year?
Yeah.
Because the reality is it paid 1 cent per share per quarter in 1970. And uninterrupted, including the 73-4 halving of the market, including Jimmy Carter, including Richard Nixon, right?
Right.
Including the last Great Recession, it's raised its dividends every year until now. We're at 66.25 cents per share per quarter, a 66-fold increase in dividends. That's ridiculous. It's absolutely absurd. And you think about what is my long-term return? I don't need a bonus.
Yeah,
you just got one, right?
True. It's already, already.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, the idea just that, I guess it really wouldn't be feasible, but it just did, sound interesting. That
right.
I wonder if anybody ever considered it.
Right.
Anyway.
Yeah, and I don't think they should.
Okay.
I agree with you. And thinking it through, investing is about the long term, should be. And also, I agree with you. I think you hit on another really good reason why not, is the negative incentive to get out when you should.
Right.
Yep. Good.
Well, anyway.
An interesting puzzle, though. I appreciate the thought.
Well, hopefully everybody else will call in.
There you go. I hope so, too. Thanks, Jim.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Take care. And our number is 580-5436, 580-KIDO. It's Dave at PetsoFinancial.net. That is your cue. All the lines are available, and we'll be right back.
This is Money Matters with Dave Petso. Dave is taking calls right now. Call 580-5436, Idaho's place to talk. Money Matters with Dave Petso on 580 KIDO, Idaho's place to talk.
Oh, hello and welcome, and thanks for joining us. 580-5436, 580-KIDO is our number. I mentioned I'd talk about attractive sectors. Judith, great question, email, but we always want to take phone callers first. We'll get to it, I'm sure, today. I'm positive we'll get to it today, and I'll be happy to answer it. And by the way, email address is dave@petsofinancial.net. Let's go to Coy in Meridian. Coy, thanks for calling. Go ahead, please.
Hi, Dave. I got not so much a question, but kind of, I guess, a comment and would like your opinion.
Mm-hmm.
I've got elderly parents.
Okay.
that have been in CDs forever, and of course the last, what, 5 or 6 years they've just been crushed.
Yep.
And they're both in the mid-80s, and, you know, they said, maybe we should get in the stock market. And I said, Mom, Dad, you guys, bless their hearts, I think you're too old, because if the stock market turned on you, you probably wouldn't get your money back. And it kind of angers me to see our politicians, I'm not sure they're aware of how this interest rate environment has hurt some of the senior citizens out there, and how they've overlooked that these people sometimes live on that fixed income, and rates have been just terrible, as you know. And I'm curious, do you think they'll ever turn that around and rates will be back up to where they're somewhat attractive?
Yes and no. I think that, Coy, it's going to be a long time, and there's a couple things here, and hopefully nobody takes it too personally, but people make a choice of how they invest. And if you invest in CDs, regardless of your age, I'm just saying, regardless of age, if you invest in CDs, you've made a choice after taxes and after inflation that you don't want to make any money. You've made that choice. And that's true whether it's 1980 and interest rates were at 16%. They were at 16 because inflation was double-digit. People forget that. And that was like for 6 months. And so, hallelujah, praise the Lord, because 6 months of my whole life, I did really good in CDs. I mean, seriously, that's what people, like, reflect on. Like, this was some magic moment when, you know, the Statue of Liberty worked and we beat Oklahoma in the Fiesta Bowl. Well, you know, I hope the program continues to do well, and that was the most exciting game of my life. But I don't think you can hang the hat on one brief moment, right? You have to keep building it. And what I'm saying is these brief moments stick out in people's minds like nothing I've ever seen. Interest rates have been actually very low for a long, long, long time, actually more than 5 years. It's just that we've gotten below where you can't even get 1% in a one-year CD, right, for the past 5 years. So it's gotten so low that people are just disgusted by the rate in the last few years. But it's been very, very low. When we talk about fixed income yield, I want to rethink that, right? I want people to really be thinking about the idea of what does it look like to have an equity income fund, right? Something that, yes, it does go bump in the night once in a while. But for the entire, they're in their 80s, their entire life, they would have made hundreds of times as much in something that really only bumped once in a while, just a little bump here and there. And what I mean by that is that the great corporations that raise their dividends year after year, I just mentioned the Procter & Gamble example, but they're not alone. And so when we think of it as what income am I receiving on this company I bought 10 years and 20 and 30 years ago, or package of them, what kind of income can I get today? And for most people, I say, like, you know, I don't know. I just wish I could get 3%, you know, 2 I'd take, right? Well, there's 3 everywhere. There's 3. What's that?
Well, it's so true. I mean, my parents would take 2%, but I just don't think they belong in the stock market in their mid-80s.
I understand, Coy, and that's kind of what people think, because they see the losses in the market that are temporary as permanent. And I do know this, and it's kind of changed my thinking a little bit, as 90-year-old people have come in. Literally, this is a true story. About 3 years ago, a 90-year-old lady said, you know, I'm sick to death tired of getting nothing. Just go find me some dividend-paying stocks. And she went in and said, I just that's what I want. And so we put it into the most conservative portfolio of dividend payers and also had some corporate bonds, right?
Right.
So I'm not going to tell you, because you already know the market's gone up. That's not relevant. Her income has gone up every year. She went from 4%. She's now getting 5.5% based on what she paid for. Not today, because the price went up. But to her, the value was, hey, my income keeps going up every year. So let's say there's a bump, right, and the value goes down. She's still way ahead of the game. And it's not just because she did it 3 years ago, but she was 90 when she did it. My point being, is it wasn't the right decision because the ball landed on red or it landed on black and that's where you put the money. That's not the right decision. The right decision was moving forward, was saying, if I'm just trying to buy a stream of income, if I just want to buy into something that over my entire life has continued to raise its income, why would I care if it moves a little bit in price? Price is not what I receive. Price is what I pay. Value is what I receive, which is your quarterly dividends. They seem to keep going higher. Now, that's the difference. Now, would I put somebody in their 80s in bad health that is, you know, really, honestly, they're not going to make it another 5 or 10 years? No, of course you don't. You find some other alternatives, unless they've been investors their whole life. But moving from CDs when you're at all-time highs in the market is a process, not a major decision where we move 100% at a time. And you look more towards corporate bonds and things that don't move as much, but where you can get some return. And you can. And you can. Without putting it all in, quote, stocks. We see this as sometimes a dynamic between CDs on one end, and we see it as Facebook on the other, right? Okay?
Yeah.
All right? No, no. What I want is I want the income payers, the dull, boring stuff that's been around longer than even your parents have been around. The dull, boring stuff that says, you know, we're making a little money. We'll share a little bit with shareholders. That kind of stuff, along with a mix of some corporate bonds and some higher yielding stocks, even including utilities, which I don't like utilities. I don't like utilities, but at least you're getting some higher dividends from those than you are in owning cash today. Negative real returns are unacceptable to me. And here's the other thing. The chances are, if your parents are in good health, that their joint life expectancy is greater than 10 years from here. Okay? I'm not saying they're in good health. They may not be.
Okay health, you know,
yeah.
Average health.
But you know what I'm saying? You just go, all you have to do is walk around and go, I can't believe that guy's like 90 years old. I can't believe that guy's 95. That lady over there is 98. I mean, the explosion of our life expectancy is off the charts. And as people get older with all of the medical developments, they are living much longer than people think. So it's just a thought, and I want you to just kind of think about that as a rethought. Okay?
I appreciate it, Dave. Thank you.
Thank you. I appreciate it, Coy, your call as well. Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right, help me out here. How long, what do we got on our last break here? 3? I guess we're out of here in 20 seconds then, eh? All right. So we got to take our break here at the top of the hour. Fox News is next. Education segment. Dollar weakening. What does that mean, and what sectors can we buy because of that?
Largest one-day festival in Idaho is back. The Idaho Lottery presents the Boise Music Festival, Saturday, June 27th at Expo Idaho. Enjoy a day packed with live music and fun in the sun. Check out local vendors and a kids' play area and tons of food choices. Plus, the Paradise Amusement Carnival. Get your unlimited rides wristband in advance at BoiseMusicFestival.com. This year, the Commercial Tire main stage welcomes Nick Jonas. Red Foo from LMFAO. The Ting Tings. Gloriana. The Plain White Tees. Shaggy. And Rob Thomas. Save on advance tickets at BoiseMusicFestival.com.
The Idaho Lottery presents the Boise Music Festival, Saturday, June 27th at Expo Idaho. Brought to you by Carl's Jr., U.S. Air Force, City of Boise, and Corwin Ford.
Hello, and welcome to hour number 2 of Money Matters. I'm Dave Petzo, and of course, these are my opinions only. Not the station, not our broker-dealer, and we're not here to tell you what to buy, or sell. Here later, I'm going to talk a little bit about sectors as we had somebody email us, and I'll talk about that, what sectors I like. That doesn't mean you should go buy them, for crying out loud. It needs to fit in a portfolio, and we're not here to give hot stock tips. This is absurd. It's absolutely absurd. It leads us further from the truth of good investing. We don't know what the future is. Nobody does. Nobody. Nobody. Nobody ever has successfully long-term timed the market. Nobody. Nobody. But we can't get over the effort to try and to comment and to, well, what do you think about the market? What do you think about it? What do you think? And this constant noise, it stops us from the basic truths. Nothing has paid, not returns, paid income like stocks. Nothing. Nothing has destroyed inflation-adjusted cost of living like stocks. Income for stocks. Not price of stocks. Income. Nothing's come close. Not the best piece of property in New York City. Not, certainly not like your house or your rentals. Nothing has come close for income than the great corporations of the world. Nothing. But we all talk about it like it's a price movement thing. That's what we have to try to get over. All right. Enough of that nonsense. I wanted to, two things here. Education segment upcoming. But I wanted to share this. This was a really fascinating, neat thing because I've been kind of on this kick. And it feels, I don't want to be snippy about it. I don't, you know, about conspiracy theories and nonsensical stuff. I don't want to be like that. I don't, because the truth is that I've been talking a lot about how and what's right in the world, the abundance of the world. That's what we're really talking about. And I guess I just don't understand. I don't understand with all the evidence of that, of how people are living longer, all the technology that's available at our fingertips. And I know I was just traveling this past weekend, and I know it's difficult. You know, you got to be in a certain place at a certain time, and you might have to take your shoes off. And then they put you on an airplane in a pretty good seat. It's okay. It's comfortable. It's not your lazy boy at home. But then they take you and they fly you at 35,000 feet really, really fast to where it is you want to go. I don't know how miserable and hard that is when you'd rather walk across the entire United States. It's amazing how we can just take all of these incredible blessings and turn them into, what a horror it was. They lost my luggage. I had to wait 30 minutes longer. 30 minutes. They were delayed. Seriously, it is funny how we are, right? And our lifestyle and all the science, all the knowledge, and, you know, at our fingertips of our cell phones, all of these things is really the abundance of the world, right? But we are always reporting what's wrong and what's terrible and how all of these different things are going to take over and ruin everything. And then once in a while, you just kind of stop and you go, and I'm having this conversation with a friend. And talking about, you know, you just, there are certain things. We're just talking about kids, and you don't give up on kids, and there's just, you can't. And there are any circumstances at all. Right? People don't. Most people don't. It doesn't matter what your kid did. It's just like the prodigal son. They're back, right? When they're back. It's over. It's done. Well, I got this, and then it was just incredible, because I can't believe, because the very next day, I hear back this story from this friend who grew up with this lady who has a kid that's nearing graduation. And that's why this story is so close to home, because I know about a kid like this, right? And people are just to their wit's end. Can't get this kid to just finish high school. Literally, there's a senior. They're right there. 6 weeks to go. Who thinks like this? Well, sometimes adolescents do. They're morons. They're morons masking as breeding-capable children. Adults. I mean, they're just idiots. Unbelievable at times. I was. You were. Lots of people are. It happens. But anyway, this beautiful story. It was so, so cool. So the mom is just like going, I can't deal with this kid anymore. Throws her hands in the air, and the little sister is there and says, Mom, everybody's given up on little Johnny. You can't. Oh, well, what happens? What do you do? Well, with 7 weeks to go in school, she showed up at school. Kid's not going to go to school. She's going to sit there in class with him, make sure he goes to school. 7 weeks later, graduated. Boom. You see, there are really some neat things out there. It isn't all bad. And we all want to believe it's all bad because that's what's reported is all bad. And people still at the core are the same thing. We care about each other. We're good people, generally speaking. What's overreported is the nonsense of how awful people are. And the world is terribly abundant. Terribly. Which leads me to this segment here. I just had to share that story. It didn't lead me to anything. I wanted to share the story. Forget it. Doesn't even have to tie in. I just wanted to share the story because it just nailed me last week. It was like I'm having this conversation. 24 hours later, there's this beautiful story of hey, doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. People don't give up on people. Some people have. I get that. But does that make the whole world? No, it doesn't. It does not. It does not. Dollar weakening. Let's talk about this. And we've talked about this before many times, but I've got to ask you this again. Hey, if there's something you want to talk about, I need your help. I need to know what you want to know. What do you want me to dig deeper into? I have had many people come back and say, Dave, we like the education segment. We like the format of the program. We like it. Okay. What do you want to know? Okay. If you don't like it, that's okay too. But this is what I've heard back. This is what we are going to continue to do. Educate. Dollar weakening. And this leads to other thoughts of what sectors, and this is back to another email that I'll talk about here probably in the next segment. But as we're looking at the dollar weakening, or was it strengthening? You remember in the opening, and I know not everybody was there for my opening monologue today, but talking about this, what we know isn't worth knowing. We knew the dollar was going to continue to strengthen. It didn't. It's weakening now. So what does that now do? You see, the euro was obviously going to go to par. That would par meaning 100, right? We were at 133, I think, on the high a year or so ago. It has now gone all the way down to like $1.03 and is now raced back up to $1.14. All knowing that the dollar would have to continue to strengthen. Well, it didn't. So what are the winners when the dollar is strengthening? What are the losers when the dollar is weakening? And what does that have to do with investing? Isn't strong good? Yeah, but it has a cost. Okay? Some companies, at least in the short term, have a difficult time competing. So when we have a strong dollar, it means that other countries, like European countries, have an automatic discount to what they're selling because everything's translated into currency. But you don't want to be weak. If weak meant good, then Venezuela would be the strongest economy in the world. That the Russian ruble would be awesome. Weak isn't good. Weak is bad if it's too much. But what we're seeing now in this dynamic is who are the winners and losers? Well, the losers are going to be the multinationals when the dollar is strengthening. The multinationals are trying to sell all over the world. Well, that's our big corporations. It makes your iPhone more expensive in China. It makes the toilet paper more expensive in Brazil. It makes those Cokes more expensive in yen. That's what it does. So then the local other brand is a tougher competitor. Or not even local, but say the German brand of toilet paper is better, cheaper, excuse me. Now, think about this in airplanes, okay? Because that's the easiest one, right? Because you've got two airplane makers, basically, in the world. I don't think the Chinese are going to make airplanes for a long time, okay? Really, seriously. Who's going to buy? Really, if you're like United Airlines, now flies Chinese air. Really? The only thing second to that would be Russian air. It's Airbus, it's Boeing. When the euro is weaker and weakening, then Airbus can discount the airplanes. It's not a fair fight. It's not on the quality. It is quality, of course, part of the equation, but quality now can be beaten with price as well. Now you switch that around because what we all knew isn't true. We didn't go to par or through par or whatever analyst decided that, you know, if I make the most outrageous bet in the whole wide world, then I'll become famous if it comes true. And nobody cares if I'm wrong over and over and over again. Just ask all the blogs out there about blood moons and crap. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter if the world didn't end 5 years ago, 4 years ago, 3 years ago, last year on the dollar thing. It's the same websites, same believers, same group of believers are going to believe what they want to believe, that the world is ending and they can somehow predict it. Goody. I don't know. What are they going to do? Stand around and go, yeah, we're right, man. Man, we're right. Yes, finally, the world is ending. Yippee-ki-yay. Really? Wow. Anyway, okay, enough of that. So if we're talking about all of these things that we think we know, and then we take that into, as we talked about in the first segment, first hour, maybe thinking about the opposite of that, and we look at what does that really mean to those companies. What we saw earlier at the beginning of the year is a continued weakness of the multinationals with the known fact that the dollar was going to continue to strengthen versus other currencies, because there's no strength on your own. It's always versus something else. Okay? Because I can hear people going, how can the dollar be strong when you're just printing money and, you know, we have deficits out of control? I got it. But relative to the rest of the world, strong. Strong and weak is a relative term. So as we have a stronger ones, what areas are having trouble were the multinationals? No question. Earnings were down. There's no doubt about it. And it's difficult to compete. So future earnings look like they're going to be weaker as well, which is really what the market moves on, not on the past. So people were placing their bets. But as we were discussing, the euro turned around and is now rising again. Now, not rapidly rising, but it's, yeah, I'd say, you know what, up at 10%, it's a pretty good rise. Since the beginning of the year, under the certainty that we were going to go down, the euro was going to keep going down. So as we get through that, what does that mean? It means Boeing just became 10% less expensive. 10. The same airplane. They didn't just run out and go, wow, we figured out how to take 10% of the cost out. It happened like that because of currency. Okay. 10% off. Boom. You take that to cars. How's Ford doing in Europe now? How's GM doing over in Asia now? Better. Better. A $30,000 car is $27,000 now. Boom. Like that. They didn't do anything. They didn't do anything bad before. They didn't do anything great. Now, weak, strong. You don't want weak. Not exaggerated. But a weakening of the U.S. currency has been a very big positive to the multinationals. Hopefully that'll help understand why they talk about the dollar and trade and how it helps or hurts. And it does affect oil prices because oil is denominated in dollars. Okay? It is, globally. I don't care if you are Libya trading with Saudi Arabia, Libya trading with Germany. Oil is priced in dollars. So it does have other effects as well. The strength, relative weakness of the dollar around the world affects multinational corporations. It does not affect local, which is why everybody was saying, hey, buy those little small companies that are all local at the end of last year. Wrong, of course. Too late. This is what happened and isn't happening now. That's not a prediction of what's going to happen to the currency relative to others. It's just an explanation for why people are concerned and how they're making bets. But boy, were they wrong, and these bets were unwound big time lately. No question about it. All right, our number is 580-5436, 580-KIDO. It's Dave at PetzoFinancial.net. We're going to be right back after this break. Please do give us a call.
This is Money Matters with Dave Petzo. Dave is taking calls right now. Call 580-5436, Idaho's place to talk. Matters with Dave Petzo on 580-KIDO, Idaho's place to talk.
Hello and welcome, and thanks for joining us. Our number here is 580-5436. It's 580-KIDO. Love to hear from you, or it's Dave at PetzoFinancial.net. And again, I really would like to have your help on any topics you would like to delve deeper into during the education segments, where we take time to really try to educate and help people understand stuff that's talked about all the time, as if everybody knows what stocks are, what bonds are, the difference between the two, what a weak dollar means, what a strong dollar means, all of those things that are just talked about as if everybody, even the people reporting them, often don't understand what they're talking about. All right, and let's go ahead and go. And again, it's Dave at PetzoFinancial.net. Let's go to an email, and thank you again for sending this, Judy. Are emerging markets and international stock funds, including Europe, still good buys with upside to go? Besides small value, what other sectors look attractive to you right now? Thank you, and thank you, Judy. Now, this is a difficult question because when I like to talk about a really great sector, for example, all right, when I want to hit that, it's because that sector has been beat up. Everybody hates it. And then, by the way, let's put an exclamation point on it. Now, they don't just hate it. They don't even talk about it. Right? It's gone from, you know, out of favor to everybody hates it and try to avoid it to nobody even talks about it because nobody cares. It's just we're so sick of it. Okay? So I would normally say something like this when we're looking at good ones to go to would be, of sectors would be, why don't we look into energy? And I'm still okay there, but the prices aren't at the bottom, are they? I mean, not at all. Right? And you can't play around with the ones that are like, well, this one fell down to a dollar. What's at a dollar? Because it's going out of business. It just is. Or they'll have to raise so much capital that the dilution will be off the charts. Don't do that. Don't do that. You can't chase those. So generally as a sector, Chevron, Exxon, Conoco, all those big guys, are they down a lot? They're not down a lot. They're down a little. Bargains? Yeah, not so much, right? Not so much. Not really that bargain area. So to the point, what is a bargain? There's not a lot of really deep bargains out there. We've had a big run, big, big run. So what I'm saying is I favor slightly favor, okay? An overweighting, yes, on the two areas you said. Our emerging markets and international stock funds, including Europe, still good buys. They're absolutely good buys. They're much better buys in my mind than the U.S. Again, it's a relative question to me. Are they out and out the greatest buys ever? No, not anymore. Not anymore. Prices have come up a little bit. But they're not up a lot. So the answer is absolutely. Now, as far as emerging markets, some of those are on fire. Last couple of years, and I don't know, India's pulled back a little bit lately, but India, they've changed everything, right? So you can't put them all in one bucket. That's why I do not like the ETFs or the index funds in emerging markets. Don't like them at all. That makes no sense to me to sit there and say, well, you know, I mean, a third of the index is Brazil, so that's what we're buying. Okay, well, what about all the corruption? Doesn't matter. Indexes are smarter than people. Doesn't make any difference. It's like Japan back in 1980. I'm sorry, 89. You had to own half of a foreign index, half at the peak. Half was in Japan. As it imploded and imploded and imploded and imploded, it just kept going down, 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 lost 75% of its value over a 20-year period, and you got to ride all of that all the way down. And you couldn't change it because an index is an index. Well, to me, that just makes no sense at all. I don't want to invest while corruption is widespread and we don't know what companies are really worth. I'm not here to speculate on whether PBR, PetroBrazil, okay, PBR, PetroBrazil is actually going to survive because we don't know how much corruption there really is there. Guess what? I'm going to let everybody else play with that. I'm not in the guessing game. I'm not. I'm in the great corporations game, not the guessing game. So if you want to play that guessing game, then you can make lots of money when you're right. Problem is when you're wrong, then that's okay, because you can pretend to have always gotten those, you know, $2 stocks that go to 20. No problem. But overall, I want to avoid places like that, right? I don't want to avoid. I'd rather be in a place that I think is on the upturn, that is a horrible place, that I would feel in danger to walk around in, but things are getting better there. Maybe in places like Africa. I'd rather be in frontier markets than be forced to be in a corruption-laden place, country. Now, there are times where you might even put a nickel or two into a place like Russia. Ugh. Yeah, that's run by the mafia and a bunch of thugs. But to have a major, no. And you better be very careful when we say that. And yes, you can buy into corruption when it turns. When it turns. It doesn't mean avoid it until it's all good. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying. It's not all good. Otherwise, prices are high. But when you wait around for the news to be by the BRICS, which is Brazil, Russia, India, and China, which have been the poorest performing other than India for the past 5 years. China's turning around now. Brazil and Russia are still sinking. And India's doing pretty good. But we can't. It's not like that. These are all different markets and they need to be treated differently. So emerging markets, I really like. Find good managers there, not the index. When you're talking about Europe, that's fine, but I'd rather invest everywhere all over the world. But the big thing is that means mostly it's going to be the great multinational corporations also of Europe. Why? Because those were also beaten down and they sell all over the world. And that is in developed country Europe. That's really their whole markets are big multinational. They don't do small and regional very, very much. They're not entrepreneurial like America is. Our number is 580-5436, 580-KIDO. Thank you, Judy. I appreciate the email. If you have a question, do shoot that over. Dave@PetzoFinancial.net. And our board is clear. It's time to ring us up. And we're going to take a break for Fox News and wait for your calls on the other side.
This is Money Matters with Dave Petzo. Dave is taking calls right now. Call 580-5436, Idaho's place to talk. Money Matters with Dave Petzo on 580 KIDO, Idaho's place to talk.
Hello, welcome, and thanks again for joining us. 580-5436, 580-KIDO is our number. And I do want and need your phone calls. Let's bring them up here today. It is not exactly an outdoor day, is it? Not exactly. I guess with the amazing spring we've had, we can't complain about a week that is not so nice, although I guess I was kind of getting used to it as well. All right, so why isn't the market pulling back when we get these negative news items coming in? And don't get me wrong, stocks aren't oblivious to economic numbers. They're not at all. They make for nice noise to trade. But the point being earlier, as I was discussing whether the economy was weak or not, and it's terribly weak, with zero interest rates, they still can't get it going. Does that mean bad news for stocks? And the answer is no, it does not mean that at all. It doesn't have to mean that at all. But it is an effect. When people aren't spending money, they're not going to the restaurants, then the restaurant stocks don't do as well. The retailing stocks clearly are getting bashed in the head right now. And shit, same-store sales are not doing well. People are not spending the money that they were before. and when they're not, obviously that's an effect on the market. Now, we're seeing deals like crazy. We're seeing stock buybacks like crazy. We're seeing dividend increases like crazy. We were talking earlier with a person who's looking for yield for his parents who are in their 80s. Where do you get yield? Where do you get some return? Stocks. Nothing else has it. The great corporations of the world that sell soap and other little dinky products, and even it could be technology companies. Some of them pay dividends too. And those are 2%, 3%, and some cases more in yield today. Why do stocks refuse to pull back more than a little bit when everybody says they're overpriced? They're not. Relative to what? Price is relative. Relative to what? Relative to cash? It looks really cheap. Relative to bonds? It looks really cheap. I'm not even going to talk about gold. Go ahead. Talk about gold. It's not an investment. It's a hiding place. It's not what serious money goes into. Serious money meaning endowments, pensions, that actually have people that need to receive income every year. Not chunks of gold. It's a relative question, and I don't like stock buybacks like the ones that are some of the ones that are going on. Okay, some of them are great; they really get it right. Companies like Apple, gee whiz, oh my gosh, even IBM's been buying its stock as it's been cratering. Look what AutoZone did; these are great. But when companies like airlines that have just been knocking the cover off the ball and are now extremely expensive relative to earnings, right? Like Delta is at 32 times earnings. Announce a $5 billion buyback. I just kind of go, really now? So I get the concerns on that, and I think they're legitimate. But the reality is that corporations aren't seeing better things to do with their money than buy their own stock. Maybe we should, too. Maybe the companies out there are saying, you know, stock is really expensive. And they're going, you know, it's $30 a share. You know, it's really expensive. I'm not going to touch it. And then tomorrow you wake up Monday morning, we wake up and find out it's been bought out for $43 a share. I know. They must just be stupid. And it's another company saying, you know what I want to do? As CEO, I want to go down as the guy that spent way too much money and blew it. Okay? That's what I want to do. And I want all my stock options to be worthless. Or we can maybe sometimes assume that they're actually pretty smart and they know their business and they're doing a good job, even though they're, quotes, overpaying. We all know what we would have, could have, should have done on third down and 3 in the fourth quarter on Monday. In fact, actually, right after the play is run, we know what we would have, could have, should have done. We always know after the fact how obvious these downturns and those kinds of things are. But during, while we're in it, while we're looking at it, you have to ask the question, why? If all of these guys, the naysayers, have been saying, market's overpriced for thousands and thousands and thousands of points, what's different? Well, number one, there's always people saying that, so it's not different. Number two, what is different is there's more reporting than ever in the world. So you'd think things are worse when they're not. Corporations are doing fine. Are prices too high? Not really. Not really. You know, as we look at the average price, the P.E. ratios and stuff over the last 25 years, they're right there. Right there. But again, it boils down to this. When interest rates are this low, what else are you going to do? And P.E. ratios, when interest rates are low, are very high, higher than they are today, making, relatively speaking, oh, I hate to say it, but stocks are cheap. They're cheap. That's the craziness. So we've got all these deals. We've got all these buybacks. We've got cash-flush corporations operating fabulously in a world that's really pretty weak. And that is why people, I think, bottom line, are a little nervous, even if you're a long-term investor like me. Which also is this final point. That leaves, along with the people that have been scared forever and certain and sitting in cash, okay? But we're adding to that, right? Because you kind of let a little extra cash build up, right? Until a bargain comes along. And we haven't had a lot of those, so maybe more cash is building up. More cash in those mutual funds. More cash in your accounts. To the tune of $12 trillion in this country alone. $12 trillion. $3.9 trillion. Trillion with a T on the balance sheets. $3.9 trillion of cash sitting on corporate balance sheets. Corporate world has never been stronger, never had a better balance sheet, better cash flow, higher dividends and cash flow than ever in history. Let's not forget, the bottom line is when that is what the world looks like, stock prices should be at all-time highs. Our number is 580-5436, 580-KIDO. It's Dave at PetzoFinancial.net. I've got to take a quick break. We'll be right back.
This is Money Matters with Dave Petzo. Dave is taking calls right now. Call 580-5436, Idaho's place to talk.
Hello, welcome, and thanks for joining us. 580-5436 is our number, 580-KIDO. I don't know what's going on out there, but we have got a dearth of phone calls here. Let's come on. Let's pick up the pace here. We're running out of time in today's program to catch up to our normal call volume, if you will. If you prefer email, it's dave@petzofinancial.net. All right, so we've got GDP concerns. We talked about that. I touched on this really all day. GDP really could be negative. That's what people are talking about. It's going to be revised down. Revised down from 0.2. But here's the worst part of it, okay? The 0.2 was because we had a negative deflation. We deflated during the first quarter. Because GDP is always reported as real, which it should be. It's the only thing that matters is after inflation, how are we doing? Just growing by the rate of inflation means you're not growing at all. The economy is not actually growing. But as I mentioned before, industrial production, 5 months in a row now. Retail sales this past week were just terrible. Consumer confidence dropped. Consumer confidence has been holding up pretty well. And then the GDP may be turning negative in revisions. Nah. Well, who knows? We don't know if it's going to be negative. But the point is, let's just go with what it is currently. Barely growing. Barely breathing. But interest rates have been rising. Now, that's a bit of a noodler, isn't it? I mean, doesn't that seem like a bit of a noodler to you? So let's talk about what happens in my news we think affects certain things. And it's reported that way. Why did the market do X, Y, and Z? Because this happened. Or did it? Is that the reason why? Or is it something more like everybody was so certain that the U.S. dollar would continue to strengthen and rates would drop as money came to the United States in seek of a stronger currency, stronger economic growth. And that was an easy bet for a few months. The euro kept weakening. All the currencies versus the dollar kept weakening. It was a slam dunk, just continue every day to mint money. And with that leverage, guess what? They did. They minted money. That trade's unwinding. People have to cover it and go the other direction. That's what they're doing. That's what they're doing. They're moving the other way. How about that? I don't know. We don't know why everything happens. Do we? We don't know why. Is it 2 minutes or three? Three? Thank you. All right. And our number is 580-KIDO. Let's go to Dell in Weezer. Dell, thanks for calling. Go ahead, please.
Good morning, Dave.
Good morning.
I think I called a few weeks ago about an exit strategy. I think what happened is you gave a Jeb Bush on me. You didn't quite understand what the question was.
Oh, okay. I'll take that hit. Go ahead and help me. Okay.
But you just were talking about something here just a few moments ago.
Mm-hmm.
That actually, as I think about it, it actually pertained to what we did in the way of an exit strategy, if you will.
Okay.
Your comments about that a corporation buying back your own stock.
Mm-hmm.
I felt that we had gained as much as we were going to gain for some time from some of the stocks we had, and so and we're not getting anything on our cash investments. So we just decided to come back in and use that money to pay off our house. We just paid it off this week.
Oh well, congratulations!
And so. You know, I assured myself of a 4.5% interest.
Right.
where it could have sat out there for a long time without doing any good for me.
Yeah, exactly. That's a fair way to do it. If you're not going to invest the money, people ask me that all the time. Well,
yeah.
Would you pay off a house or do that? Well, what are you doing? Well, we're sitting on $50,000, you know, or whatever. Well, pay off your house or pay off your debts with it then, instead of sitting and earning zero. So, great choice.
Yeah. So, but anyway, the bottom line now is, of course, with that money that we're not paying, having to pay out in payments on the house, I undoubtedly will turn around and try to make some kind of investments with it. But I think the question I really was trying to pose to you was, as you get older and your timeline for hoping for a real gain in the capital gain side, that our age is probably the more intelligent thing to do is to try to find some of the better paying, quite, you know, relatively safe type investments. And the one that comes to my mind just for the moment, and I have not checked on it, but like Idaho Power, you know that you're going to get some
dividend
out of that every month and so or every quarter. So
well, and that's that. Boy, that brings up a great point. So I'm going to actually kind of deflect Idaho Power and other utilities till next week because I'd like to go ahead and spend a good amount of time pretty much bashing them for why I don't think they're great investments. Okay.
Yeah, well,
I do. I think there are, but I understand in general that's not what you're asking. But I will talk a good bit about that next week. Now, in the meantime, for the next minute we have here, I do want to say that, you know, I did understand your question. Now, and that is that no matter how old you get, I'm not sure that there really is an exit point because you're going to pay massive capital gains taxes if you're talking about the great corporations of the world. I mean, we have lots and lots of people that have $6, $12, $20 per share, say Procter & Gamble, that yields over 3% today at today's $80-plus price tag, right? Take it back to what they paid for it. It's 8-10 times as high, quotes, a yield. I can't get that somewhere else, number one. And number two, I don't want to pay taxes on it to do that. So as far as that goes, exiting, if you need the money, absolutely you look for these types of times. If you don't, I don't see any reason not to continue to enjoy the income that you get and you're not getting in other places. Dell, I'm sorry, I got to roll. Thank you again for your call.
Okay.
And thanks to everybody. Have a great weekend. We'll talk to you next week.